President Trump is in meetings to discuss the North American Free Trade Agreement and its future. Yesterday, he met with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
We're very much focused on continuing to negotiate in good faith on modernizing and upgrading NAFTA.
The Trump administration would like to reshape the pact. The administration has criticized Canada's dairy and wine industries while also imposing duties on Canadian airliners and lumber exports. Here's Trudeau again.
The American administration and the president makes decisions that surprise people from time to time. That is certainly something that we are very much aware of and very braced for.
And joining us now with a look at how the NAFTA talks are going and where the U.S. stands is Brian Peck. He's an expert in international trade and director of the Transnational Law and Business Center at USC. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
So the Washington Post is reporting President Trump is leaning toward jettisoning a NAFTA in favor of bilateral accords. Would that be a better deal for the U.S.?
I don't think so. NAFTA has been in place, as we know, since 1995. Through that the period of, 25 years, for example, in manufacturing, the integrated supply chain now has become so integrated between the three countries that going bilateral would disrupt that supply chain and affect negatively, for example, the auto manufacturing industry.
Both Mexico and Canada have in the past signaled a willingness to maybe modernize NAFTA, bring it into the 21st century a little bit. Do you get the sense that those goals can be met while also meeting the demands or the goals of the Trump administration?
I think aspirationally, the goals can be met. If you may recall, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was negotiated and completed last year, and of course, the administration has pulled out of that. But that basically modernized NAFTA. Both Mexico and Canada, as well as the United States, signed on to the TPP. Indeed, a lot of the U.S. negotiating positions for the NAFTA negotiations are based on the TPP model.
Well, you say aspirationally. Practically, do you think it's possible?
I think practically, if there are good faith negotiations, I think it is still possible, yes.
What has to happen, I guess? I mean, a lot of the talks obviously are going on with at the staff level, not necessarily with the presidents and prime ministers. How much progress can be made at that level and how much really has to be made by the elected leaders of the countries?
Well, I think that this current round, which just began yesterday and originally was scheduled to go for about 3 days, has now been extended until October 17th. This really is a pivotal round because this is the first round where the real hard issues are going to be addressed for the first time and where the United States reportedly will be putting on the table proposals that will be not very palatable, if you will, to Canada and Mexico. U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other large number of business associations are very concerned that the current proposals being tabled or rumored to be tabled by the administration could be considered poison pills, making it so unpalatable that, it would make it difficult to move forward. So I think, as you say, though, the administration, as we've seen from reports, says one thing. The actual negotiators are more intent in trying to find negotiated solutions and common ground to move forward with this. So I think, this current round, now scheduled to end on October 17th, will be very pivotal in see what kind of progress can be made and whether the negotiators can really move forward or not.
Brian, how much of this, from the U.S. perspective, could be seen as a red herring of sorts, to say that U.S. jobs were lost because of NAFTA, because that gets people riled up and emotional? Do the facts back that up?
There have been job losses to NAFTA as well as any trade agreement. But again, it's not simply due to the trade agreement itself. I like to raise the example that, for example, the auto industry and manufacturing jobs in autos has been a flashpoint for the administration during the campaign, of course, during these negotiations. But the real fact of the matter is that for every car that is manufactured and imported into the United States, 40% of that car, or 40 cents of every dollar of the value of that car, comes from U.S. manufactured parts that are manufactured here in the United States. So although the assembly line might be in Mexico, that assembly line in the manufacturing of that completed car is employing the manufacturing lines of the parts in Midwest and other parts of the United States. So yes, jobs are lost by any by free trade agreement, but other jobs are created. And as I mentioned earlier, the supply chain has become so integrated in manufacturing that although a final manufacturing might take place in the U.S., Mexico, or Canada, jobs are being created and maintained in the other members, for the parts that are being put into that final product. The other thing too is people don't realize is that a lot of these jobs that are being lost are due to automation or to factors other than the free trade agreement. So it's a very complex issue. It's not due simply to the free trade agreement itself. And the free trade agreement has indeed created jobs. It is also very important for the agricultural sector. And again, you have a lot of agricultural associations, farmer associations, pork producer associations. They're very concerned about the loss of NAFTA because it has been a boon for our U.S. agricultural industry in terms of access to Mexico.
Brian Pack is director of the Transnational Law and Business Center at USC. Brian, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much.